Let me invite everyone to take a moment and make their way to their seats. Just want to welcome everyone. My name is Sam, just in case you don't know who I am, one of the pastors here at Hope Church. And it's a real joy to be with you this morning. So encouraging, so exciting to be to have this morning with some rain in it, right? And some rain signals some green, some life, and rain is so often a picture in the Bible of the renewing work of God the Holy Spirit, the reviving work of God the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that it would be a sign of what the Lord wants to do in our midst this morning as well. Amen. Let me turn to some announcements so that we can share a little bit of what's happening in our church family this morning and throughout the week as well. So this morning we'll be celebrating communion, Holy Communion together. This is a great opportunity for us to come together as God's church, God's one body, and celebrate all that Christ has done for us in his death and resurrection, and especially the fact that he is knitting us together with himself. And so use this time also to reflect on your life, to have short accounts with the Lord, and joyfully come and partake with your brothers and sisters. Yes, this is a very important announcement. Interested in being part of the church's prayer team? Sign up sheet is in the foyer. We really would love for this new church that's being formed from these two churches to be a church marked with prayer, that has prayer as a part of its DNA. And so if you would like to be a part of the prayer team that is continually involved in prayer, if you especially have a sense that you have a gift of intercession, you have an urge to pray more, this can be a great opportunity to develop in prayer. And related to that, as a church, we want to be praying and praising the Lord together, praying for one another, praying for our city, praying for our church, praying for the advance, the progress of the kingdom of God. And as we've been doing for a while now, and now we do as one church, there will be a praise and prayer night at the end of the month, so Friday, May 30th. Great opportunity. They're usually from 7 to about 9 o'clock p.m. And I've always said, if you're not able to come out for the entirety of the meeting, but you're able to come out even for 20, 30 minutes, come out. Don't feel like you can't come. Come join us in a time of praising the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord for all that he has done, enjoying the Lord together, and also praying for one another and interceding for the city. So this is a great opportunity to do so. I think the next announcement Chris has.
I just want to say a brief word about our youth work. So we meet tonight. We normally meet with the boys and the girls in two different groups. These are based on the Connect group model, the Cell group model that some of you are familiar with. And it's usually every Sunday at 6 p.m. But Mirren, who is actually in the sound booth today, or myself, are the two contact points if you want to know a little bit more about that. We have a really encouraging structure that allows the young folks to develop in leadership as well, because they take part of the responsibility for the various parts of the meeting, whether it's the song that might be sung, or the icebreaker, or sometimes taking some of the food along, or leading the discussion section on God's Word. We've been going through Mark's Gospel with them. We also have activities, like recently we did an escape room. We've done some other stuff, including some target practice. The boys did that back at Christmas time. Great fun. We all survived. And so these activities help us to bind the young folks together, but they're also used to be nights when we invite friends along to these activities so they get to meet the group and then can maybe think about coming with us on a Sunday evening to that group. So if you want to know more, please speak to me, and I'll point you in Myrna's direction too if you've got some young girls that would like to join with that as well. Thank you.
God always takes the initiative and comes to us first. He comes to rescue us. He draws us to himself. And this is reflected in the order of service, the way that Christians have always worshipped. He calls us into his presence. So hear the call to worship and prepare your hearts to worship God this morning. 95, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for the joy and the privilege to have you as our great shepherd, and the joy and privilege to be your sheep, to know that you care for us, you protect us, you fight for us, and you feed us. Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name that you would send your Holy Spirit afresh into each and every one of our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would now be at work in our midst to renew us in our walk with you, to draw us up to yourself in praise, in worship, in adoration, as we hear you speak to us from your word and as we partake in fellowship with you and with one another at your table. God, do your great and wondrous and mighty work in all of our lives, in our families, in this church community. Lord God, be pleased in our worship, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. It is so sweet to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and sing.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I put Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust. Thank you. You're sure the price it has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised.
Still my living.
And this morning we begin a new series in which we see Jesus and his interactions, his encounters with different key characters throughout the Gospel of John. And we begin this morning looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 19 to 34. This is the word of the Lord. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one who you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." Amen. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. In just a moment, we will be collecting the offering, and it's a response to God's grace, God's love, and God's invitation. So let's pray and prepare our hearts and perhaps prepare our wallets as a way of worshiping the Lord with all of our lives. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hear your word this morning, and we ask that by the same Holy Spirit that rested on Jesus like a dove, you would write these words, these truths on all of our hearts. And God, by the power of that Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would you help us to see, to discern how you might be speaking to each and every one of us, and empower us to put your word into practice. Father, receive these tithes and these offerings as an expression of our gratitude, our thankfulness for all that you have done for us, all that you continue to do for us, and the many ways in which you have provided and will continue to provide for us. So Lord, would you receive this in Jesus' name? Would you delight in this? Would you help us to faithfully steward these resources to the progress and advance of your kingdom in this region of the Tampa Bay area. And God, would you receive this time of worship, of song and praise. As we delight in you, would you also delight in us and draw us more deeply into fellowship with yourself? We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Everything around me is shaken.
Great are you, Lord, our God, our host of heaven, our great and firm foundation, faithful from generation to generation, deserving of love, worship, respect, honor of our entire beings, of our souls. You are the one true God, holy, pure, and perfect. So at this time, we confess to you our sins privately, honestly, and sincerely. We confess our thoughts, our doubts. Confess our unbelief. We confess our hurts, our pain. We confess, Lord, you are God. We praise you and thank you that you are able to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. You do not shrink from our sin. You are able. You are good to forgive. And we thank you, God, that we have the time to be in your presence. We have an opportunity as a family to worship corporately. We thank you for your servant who will speak your word of truth to us. We thank you that your word will convict and can convict. And we thank you, dear God, that our eyes and our hearts and our minds can be open to receiving what Holy Spirit has for each one of us today. And we thank you that in your goodness you are faithful to us, that your Holy Spirit is here among us, and that we are able to worship and to know truly in relationship the one true God. Oh, merciful, wonderful Savior, in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and children are dismissed to Hope-Filled Kids.
Well, friends, good morning to you all. Let's turn to God's Word this morning, and we're in John chapter 1 from verse 19 onwards. So please turn, if you've got a Bible, to that, or call up the Bible on your cell phone, so long as that's the only thing that you're calling up on your cell phone, that's fine. Okay. Let me just take a second to put into context what we've got with John here. His introduction to his whole gospel is from verse 1 through to 14, where he talks of Jesus, but he uses the word, the Word, to talk about Jesus as the Word of God. And so this is his introduction to his whole gospel. But I want us to focus today on the interaction between John the Baptist and this time when he meets Jesus and says, look, the Lamb of God. And If you're not familiar with the Gospels, just to say that John the Baptist was also a cousin of Jesus. So let's look at this passage together today. The writer, Mark Twain, he said, "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." And the sense of that is that we all wonder sometimes, is there a purpose for our living? Why are we here? It's a very important question in an age when so many feel a deep angst about why they are here. And you have a very basic choice. You could say there's no rhyme nor reason. It's just pure random happenstance that we exist. And then one day we'll die and everybody will ever forget that we even existed. Or you can follow what your heart is telling you, that that can't be true. And what the Word of God confirms to you, that there is more to life, that there is a rhyme and a reason to this life. And when John, the writer of this book, the guy who wrote the gospel, John the writer, rather than John the Baptist for a moment, but John the writer, he was going out of his way to convince people, to convince us that there really is a reason behind life. And he tries to create an expectation of discovering that very reason. And I want us to look at how he goes about creating that expectation and then seeing the great expectation and meeting the great expectation as well. So let's think first of all of creating great expectations. In life, communication barriers often exist. Many of you will immediately perhaps think of your own marriages and the challenges sometimes that you can have in your marriages in communicating. You say one thing and the opposite is heard. But you've got nothing on my marriage, because when we met, my wife couldn't speak any English. And when I met her, I couldn't speak any Spanish. And you might wonder, how are we still here 20 plus years later? But we manage. But it is not always easy. And though I can understand Spanish, it's very selective understanding sometimes. And so you have to overcome communication barriers in life, don't you? And you got to think here that John the writer, he's a Jewish guy, steeped in the world of the Jewish religion. But he's a Jewish man living in a Gentile world, a Roman world, a world that has none of the Jewish background that he personally enjoyed. And as he is writing this book about the life and times of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, he's scratching his head and he's thinking, how do I communicate this hope, this very, very Jewish hope, how do I communicate that to people who are not Jews, who have no concept of an expectation or a longing for a Jewish Messiah, king? And so he really works hard at that in the first 14 verses of this passage to truly grab the attention of the Gentiles, the Romans, the Greeks, the Africans, the rest of the world, basically, outside of his own Jewish people. And so how does he do that? He picks up on a phrase right at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That phrase, the Word, is logos, where we get logic from. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Glorious language, reflects Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God spoke, and the world came into existence through his word. Spoke and resounded with the Jewish listeners to this book, to as it was read to them. But it That word logos was loaded with significance for the Gentile world. He was overcoming this communication barrier just by using this phrase, the logos, because that meant everything to many people in that Greek or Roman world. One Bible scholar put it this way: must a Greek who is interested in Christianity be rooted through Jewish messianic ideas and through Jewish ways of thinking? Or could some new approach be found which would speak out of his background to his mind and heart? And that's exactly what the word logos did. If you like, he was speaking the love language of so many of the thinkers who were not Jews that day, because for them, they were very familiar with this idea of logos from their own thinking. It kind of meant reason to them. And one of the Greek schools of thought, the Stoics, they said this about the logos and their understanding. What keeps the stars in their courses? What makes the tides ebb and flow? What makes day and night come in unalterable order? What brings the seasons round at their appointed times? And they answered, all things are controlled by the logos of God, the logic of God, the reason of God, that there's a meaning behind all of life. There's a reason for why you exist. Tell that to any of your friends who ever feel like